Welcome to episode 298 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your hosts,
Tish
and Dr. T. In this episode, we review the opening round of the NRL in Las Vegas and much more. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Welcome to episode 298 of the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to bring you the everyday fan's perspective on the greatest game of all, rugby league. This is Rugby League for the People. I'm your co-host, Dr. T. Joining me is Tish. And Tish, there's only one thing I need to say on this great, important weekend in the history of rugby league. Peter Verlandis. Peter Verlandis is a genius. He has done it. He has taken us to Las Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are too young to know, that is to the tune of Viva Las Vegas, which was obviously an Elvis Presley era. Let's not get into a historical lesson about who was Elvis Presley, but needless to say, rugby league and Elvis and Las Vegas are now forever destinies entwined, thanks to Peter Verlandis. I'm going to keep singing that for the rest of the episode. But look, an exciting round. Two games, but it was much more than two games. It was worth 200 games, what we saw in Las Vegas. I was so pumped that the experiment, the greatest experiment in rugby league history in this side of the century, the turn of the century, has ended up being an absolute winner on many fronts. So pumped. But Tish, were you pumped for the Las Vegas experiment?
Oh, look, I was, definitely 100% pumped. And it was a great spectacle. It was, I think they did a phenomenal job. There were challenges as well. There was even challenges with some of the weather conditions. You're hearing some great stories, and I think ultimately, a great first step. And I didn't even realize this, but it was the first time ever in NRL history, rugby league history, that competition points were played outside of Australia and New Zealand, and in the great continent of North America, the great country that is United States of America. I think PVL has made America great again.
That's right. Although he didn't actually meet former President Trump. He met the current President Biden. Yeah,
Viva Las Vegas. He's great at figureheads and not just figureheads, but state heads of different organizations. I think he's been wanting to dining with all PNG presidents and Australian prime ministers, and now the US president. Diplomacy, Peter. I think there is something in it. Maybe a career in politics after this, but yeah. And then look, that song that you're sort of playing there. I think that was part of the Channel 9. I think because I watched the Fox still, but I did go back and watch some of the highlights that were Channel 9 highlights, and I believe that that's where the try song was, the Viva Las Vegas. And I thought, typical Channel 9, let's put something on that reflects Las Vegas more than 50 years ago, right? That's the Channel 9 way. But I thought the coverage was fantastic. So look, I know we'll, our show is definitely going to be talking about that, but what a great way to start the season. And this is year one. I just hope that I'll be able to go and watch it maybe next year or the year after. It's going to be so exciting.
Look, I think so. Wouldn't it be good if let's do a live cross one day? Let's get there and do a live recording from Las Vegas. Let's see what happens next year. Or we're there for 5 years, so this is year one of a 5-year experiment. So looking forward to it. But look, we are going to spend the rest of this episode obviously unpacking this Las Vegas experiment. It obviously is the biggest show in town. There's a lot to unpack, though, including the actual games themselves. So we're going to kick that off with our six tackles. And here we go with tackle one, our review of the games. All right. So the games were, look, pretty high quality games, I would say. The first one, it was a doubleheader, of course, Manly Warringah Seagulls defeating South Sydney Rabbitohs 36-24. I think the scoreline at the end there kind of flattered the Rabbitohs a little bit. And then that was followed up by the Roosters 20-10 over the Brisbane Broncos. And yeah, so look, they were both pretty high quality games, I think. So let me just get your, I guess, first impressions of both games, and then we'll dive into a bit of the stats very quickly. Tish, what are your first impressions of both those games?
Well, I thought they were both very impressive games, and I thought that, like, the first game I thought was got off to an absolute great start. Like, you know, it kind of had everything that game. Like, it was a very, you know, lots of great hits, lots of great plays, a few great, you know, sort of line breaks and things like that, and then obviously a big score line. And I thought the other game was actually a really good reflection of rugby league too, right? Where we've had a bit of an arm wrestle, right? So it's almost like a different style of an NRL game. So I thought both games were a really good showcase. But I'd say probably the highlight, I think that if I were to sum up like what was kind of the theme of both games, I think it was the big hit and the hard-hitting, fast-paced rugby league, which I think is what the product needed to be in order to captivate an American audience. So how about yourself, the Dr. T?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it kind of both games were different styles, and I think both stars were actually really attractive to watch in different ways, you know, to new audiences. So if you wanted to get, you know, two typical games that were above average in terms of quality and speed and hits and skill, I think both of these games fit the bill very well. Well, let's dive into them because I think both deserve a bit of a discussion. So as I said, different styles of games. So, and I think you're right. One was more of a free-flowing. It was still tough, but more free-flowing, and that's evidenced by the scoreline, a massive scoreline, 36-24, Seagulls over the Rabbitohs. It was 12-10 at halftime in favour of Manly. It ended up being 6-5, so 11 tries. It was absolutely, it was a game that swung in terms of the fortune. So we saw Rabbitohs hit the lead first, and then we saw, and it was actually Richard Kennar, who was in the 6 minute scored the first ever try by an NRL player for competition points in Las Vegas. So a huge honour for Richard Kennar. Ended up scoring the final try as well, the consolation try at the end there to kind of even up the scores a little bit. But by then, obviously, it was too late. 12-10 at halftime, but even in that first half, you know, the fortune swung one way or another. You could tell that going into the break that Seagulls had a bit of the ascendancy, but that was completely quashed in the first few minutes of the second half when really a Latrell Mitchell masterclass, a try and a massive assist to Alex Johnson ended up getting the Rabbitohs to a, I think it was a 20-12 lead. That was the biggest lead at the time. And then it all went downhill from there because then basically four unanswered tries by Manly ended up getting them to 36-20, and then that final try 36-24. So Manly definitely, they weathered that initial storm beginning of the second half and ran away with it, and deservedly so. I think they played really well, and I want to get into, obviously there's one player in particular I wanted to talk about, but let's get into some of the team stats. Firstly, in terms of possession, Manly had the greater of the possession only by a few minutes. Run meters were high, were in favour of Manly. Line breaks in favour of Manly. Tackle breaks actually in favour of the Rabbitohs, which is surprising. So, look, kick return meters definitely in favour of the Seagulls. We know this because of DCE. DCE's kicking game was absolutely superb, but they also had Luke Brooks, who also kicked very well as well. Offloads favour of Manly, more passes. Dummy passes, 15-7 in favour of the Rabbitohs. So there goes that theory. 6-0 in favour of Manly. Wow. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it, just the ability to break the line in a different way. 3 intercepts to Manly. That was probably not a very good sign for we'll start seeing in terms of communication and passing, et cetera. You know, the thing I want to talk about, forget the team stats, is Luke Brooks. He capped it off with a great try at the end. And I have to say, look, he wasn't superb, but he certainly looked like he's starting to come out of his shell. And he looked like he is very much a running 5/8, which he never was allowed to be in the West Tigers. And now all of a sudden, you know, flanking DCE on one side, letting him control the game as he is, you know, Australian captain in the past and all these sort of things, Queensland captain, letting him run the show. And then Luke Brooks does what he does by, you know, finding the gaps, using his speed and skill. Pressure is off. And look what happens when you take ship outside him. Look, I think I'm already immoral to win the that crystal ball prize points for Renaissance Player of the Year. I think we both went for Luke Brooks. I think so. You know, we're doing well. So, what do you think about Luke Brooks as a former West Tigers player? You probably got some emotional investment in him. What do you think about Luke Brooks and his performance?
Yeah, well, look, traditionally the Seagulls have been a team that both Western Suburbs Magpies and Balmain Tigers, you know, the traditional clubs that make the West Tigers, have not been a big fan of. And obviously, you know, supporting that club, you know, I haven't really gone for them. But I think just having Luke Brooks on that team and knowing how much of a career he had at the West Tigers and sort of, you know, the ups and downs, I felt myself. At least cheering him and at least cheering the Seagulls because of him. And you know what? He looked like he fit. Like, I'd say that he looked like a really good fit. You know, he did look like that he had, you know, he had combinations going. I don't know if he's been living with the Torbrojevics, but he feels like another Torbrojevic brother, right? Plays between him and Gerbo, right? They kind of, you know, even the young Ben and sort of Luke, and then so like just, you know, different things. He wasn't, as you said, he wasn't faultless. There was a, you know, he could have scored two tries actually. I mean, he scored one, but then there was an earlier where he dropped the ball over the line, and then there was a couple of, you know, sort of situations where, I mean, I don't think I necessarily saw him make the wrong decision, which I think he would tend to do at the West Tigers because, as you said, he is, you know, his strength is running, and he is a half that is built on a running game. So I think when it comes to, like, you know, the right option when it comes to passing and stuff like that, that's where play would break down. But look, you know, I think that was kind of that was that. But look, I also felt that that also had to be with, you know, playing with the playing group that he's playing with. Obviously, it's a new time as well. So it's going to take a bit of time for people to get used to his timing as well. You know, there was a pass that he passed over the sideline. The play was on. The decision was there. It's just that obviously that last piece of execution didn't quite fit. But I felt as the winger had, you know, a few extra games with Luke down the track end of the season, that play, they would have pulled it off. So, yeah, and I think overall, like, mainly in the first half, they did actually miss a few chances, right? There was a point where I think the Rabbitohs had just sneaked in front, and you were thinking, well, you know, Manly are actually playing better than the Rabbitohs. It's a bit, it's going to be a bit difficult for them to play this well but still be behind. But then they were able to pull themselves slightly in front. Then the next fear came, you know, in the second half, where obviously the Rabbitohs scored those two early tries, and you felt like, okay, maybe the first half the momentum was with the Eagles, but the momentum has changed to the Rabbitohs. But, you know, what it came down to is, you know, all the South Sydney tries were basically from errors that Manly had made. But then, you know, the Rabbitohs, when they took the lead, they started, they started making errors. And then because of making those errors, you know, Manly were able to score not just two but three tries in succession. And then they kind of, you know, once they had that lead, and I think it was that Brooks try that actually kind of sealed the game for them, right? Like, I don't think at that point the Eagles can come back. Yeah, so that's, you know, so that was the 34-20 moment. After that, they just, you know, obviously they did, you know, there was one consolation try right at the end, but overall they just seemed to dominate after that. So, yeah, I think a bit of work with South Sydney. You know, they had that form slump towards the end of the last season, and unfortunately, you know, they conceded a lot of penalties, they made a few errors, and, you know, just when they had their noses in front, they felt they were in a winning position. You know, they squandered it a little bit, and you have to wonder how much of this is, you know, the talent's there, but how much of this is like they're in their head too much, or there's something just not clicking with them. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's very interesting how both of these teams will back up this game, you know, when they play next week.
Yeah, my final thoughts on that is I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's something about the Rabbitohs that it's hard to sort of work out what their mental game is. And I think what I saw is that I think it's tied very much to Latrell Mitchell. And if Latrell Mitchell has the right sort of mind space, he will lead them from the front and they'll be unstoppable. When he's not on, when he's not switched on, when he's error prone or just not quite in it, that's when they kind of lose their way. And that's, I'm not saying that they're completely reliant on him, but I think they're reliant on him to be the X factor. And when he's not, I think they just go flat. And I think that's what we saw. But look, well done to Manly. Good first up win in foreign territory. I think it's fair to say there were many more South fans at that ground than Manly. But there you go. Look, and Roosters and Broncos was the next game. And look, again, the stats actually showed a bit more in favour of the Roosters. A bit more possession, a bit more time in possession. Overall completion rate was slightly higher. You know, run meters were slightly higher. Line breaks were slightly higher. I'm just looking down the stats. Kick return meters, however, favoured the Broncos by quite a fair way. Offloads, would you expect the Broncos to be the offload kings? No, 14-11 in favour of the Roosters, which surprised me a little bit. Dummy passes, 11-1 in favour of the Broncos. So, you know, dummy passes don't always work out for you guys, but there you go. And grubbers, 8-3 in favour of the Broncos. Look, again, the stats tell the story that it is a close match, but with the Roosters kind of edging in front. Similar to what you just said before, though, I think a lot of the points that we saw scored in this match were actually from errors as well. You know, I think there was the initial Joseph Manu try was directly from an intercept, so, you know, close to the line. So, and I think there was another, I think the Victor Radley one later on was from an error as well from the Broncos. So it came off an error anyway. So, look, and then, you know, the halftime it was 8-4 in favour of the Roosters. So, again, a low scoring but kind of high quality, you know, match. I think it was a good tussle, but just enough points scored to get the Americans interested. And, you know, hopefully we've won new fans over with both of these games. One thing I have to say, though, was a bit annoying hearing some of the commentators refer to it as Allianz Stadium instead of Allegiant Stadium, which is what it is. I think some people are probably being paid to make, you know, fake errors. But there you go. No, yeah. I think, look, commentary aside, I thought it was, look, overall both the games are good. I'll give you a last word on Roosters and Broncos before we unpack the rest of the Las Vegas experiment.
Yeah, look, I think in this game, I think what it should show, Roosters, they only had 8 errors, whereas the Broncos had 15, which was the most of any team, you know, out of the 4 teams, right? So, and the Roosters had the best, least amount of errors, and, you know, very clinical, like, you know, the missed tackle count and the ineffective tackle count was quite low on the Roosters' end. But, you know, they kind of that's kind of where the differences in the stats are going to be. Overall, I think this game might have come down to preparation because, you know, the Roosters uniquely they kind of didn't train at Vegas. They actually went to another, I think they LA or another part of America is where they trained, where the Broncos lived the full Vegas experience right for the week, and potentially, you know, maybe the occasion got to them a little bit because you could kind of see where, you know, the Roosters were a bit more, like, they handled the situation a lot better. So That and the errors and, yeah, the lack of errors on the Roosters' part. So, yeah, interesting to see. Look, I think the Broncos, they look like the better team sometimes when they have the ball, right? It's just they're just off for some reason. And, yeah, let's see. I mean, it's a very crucial year for them to back up what they did so well last year. I'm sure they want to. And I'm sure they'll help back, with a strong performance next week.
Yeah, and I think I need to say, even though we're not going to focus on today, there is an ongoing kind of unfortunate incident with Spencer Lenu being accused of making a racist remark to Ezra Mam, or Ezra Mam, I think they call him. I don't know what to say about that. I think it's unfortunate. He seemed to have brushed it off by saying, oh, it's, heat of the moment, fun and games on the field kind of thing. So I don't think he meant whatever he said as a racist remark. I don't know for sure, but if there is anything to this, I think the NRL Integrity Unit will investigate and, regardless of the race of whoever perpetrates racial remarks, I think they need to, go through the process and have due process as hopefully the NRL will provide them. But I don't think there's anything more we can say today. It's unfortunate that after all that, there was that negative kind of spin on what happened. Or the negative incident that hopefully won't detract from all the good that came out of this weekend. So without any further ado, let's move on to tackle number two, and we're going to analyse the whole round a little bit further. Here we go. All right, so I just wanted, I guess, a free-flowing discussion, Tish, just some thoughts around. I know we're going to unpack a few of the things in the next few tackles, but, just overall, what are your impressions of the whole experiment, given we've just spoken about the games themselves, and, do you think that it was a win overall?
Yeah, well, look, I'll say it like this. PVL, he was everywhere. Promoting it, which I thought was fantastic. And then so what I really wanted to hear is what the NRL defined as their success point for, either for this round or for the whole experiment. What are they trying to get out of it? And then what I did hear PVL, and this is kind of where I came on board, is that he does have a definition for the win, right? Which is 1%. Of the American population to sign up for the NRL Watch app, right? That is the whole purpose behind the next 5 years. Fact that he said that, now we can go, okay, great. Is it going to be a success or a failure? And I think, look, I don't know. Obviously, the numbers are not in yet. It's still very early days. But I thought, this was on, I believe it was on Fox Sports 1, maybe the because it was a college game that went over, maybe Fox Sports 2 shared some of it, but then it moved back to 1. It'd be interesting to see what the American ratings are coming out in the next few days. What was it, actually? But I think it was a good, the spectacle delivered, the actual occasion delivered. But I just wonder, out of the 40,000 people that showed up there, how many of them were Americans seeing rugby league for the first time, and how many of it were expat Australians, Canadians, Kiwis, and British people who've seen the NRL before. I wonder about that. So look, I want to play a wait and see. I think definitely the actual event success tick. It was a great event. It was very entertaining, but the actual, how the NRL want to measure it, I think there's still some counting to be done. How about yourself?
Look, interesting. Let me throw four names at you, and let's see if people recognise these names. Markaya Bayless, Chris Leach, Michael Woolridge, and Megan Pakulis. If those names don't mean anything to you now, it's because they are unfamiliar names, but they were chosen athletes that were chosen from the NRL Combine to train with elite NRL teams and NRLW teams in Australia. So, look, this is the other thing, and the genius of PVL is that he obviously focuses on one key outcome that he wants. The signings for the app or could be anything, memberships. It could be eyes on you know, bums on seats or eyeballs on Fox Sports or whatever. He's focused on one thing, but there was so much going on. And this is what I love about what happened is that it was a whole event, a whole experience. It wasn't just a game. It wasn't just a a one-off thing. If you wanted to tick all the reasons why NRL or rugby league's attempts to expand into new markets like America in the past have failed, on this occasion we've done the complete opposite, and we've had PVL and Andrew Abdo who have done a great job to actually deliver what they promise. So let's go through. Let me just off the top of my head, some of the check boxes of things that we in rugby league have continually failed to do, and see whether we've done the opposite this time. So number one would be promise something and not deliver it. You know, like rugby league in China, those kinds of promises, that kind of thing. You know, they promised they would get to Las Vegas. They had lots of negativity around it. Did they deliver it? Yeah, they did. They did deliver an excellent event, a whole experience. It was a whole week of build-up. You know, I saw Gronkowski's a video on YouTube of Rob Gronkowski, you know, NFL legend, talking about, you know, admittedly rugby, not rugby league, but, you know, he still was talking about the big hits that they gave him, NRL videos. So, look, you put it all together and they made a big event of it. Another checkbox, what we often do is we don't go far enough to promote the game. I think we did the opposite here, which is we promoted the hell out of it. And we did a great job. You know, like I told you, the Gronkowski thing, you can go through. There was so much build-up, so much so that even on Australian television, we saw positive news stories about rugby league in Las Vegas. Nothing really around, hopefully the players don't get up to no good. None of that kind of stuff. It was all positive, probably because that was off the back of four endless weeks of Taylor Swift positivity on television. Probably they just couldn't bear to talk about anything negative about anyone. But, you know, let's ride the coattails of Taylor Swift and whatever his name is, Travis Kelce. But, yeah. You know, so that's the other thing, promotion. They did it really well. So, number one, we promised something and we delivered it. Number two, we promoted something more so. Like, I don't remember ever looking at this going, geez, they could have done more. They could have done more. I don't think they could have done more. I think if we had, you know, even in our wildest dreams, Tissue and I decided, we've got an endless money pit. Let's throw, how are we going to advertise this? The NRL did that and more. And I think I was really happy to see that. So I thought that's a good thing. The combine thing, looking to the future, looking to actually use this event as an opportunity to recruit athletes. What a brilliant idea, you know. Yes, it's an event and an experience, but here's a chance for people to be told, hey, we also want to recruit you. We're not just here to showcase our game. We're here to recruit the best athletes in the world. Want to try? Brilliant. Again, brilliant. Something that's never really been done when we've done these kind of outside of Australia, New Zealand experiments. Never been done before. Fantastic that, as I said, those four names are people that the first four people ever chosen from an NRL combine event, which obviously takes after the NFL combine. Look, I could go on and on. There's so many other things that we've done. Yeah.
So there is also kind of California-based rugby player Liz Tafuna, who's already in negotiations with Canberra to sign, like with Don Ferner himself, right?
Wow.
So yeah. So and I think there's a prediction that a few of these players will go into the NRL. Sign up for NRLW clubs. And you know what? I actually think that's probably one of the oversights that they probably could have thought of is let's do a triple header and let's get an NRLW game going, because unlike the NFL, there's no NFLW, but there is an NRLW, right? And you do have college gridiron programs, right? And these players are on campus, you know, in their college years are superstars, right? So it's probably the quickest way to get superstar athletes who play a very similar sport, get them to transition into the NRL, get them playing a full-time professional sport. And, you know, the NRLW also, I mean, they outrated the AFLW with half as many games last year. So it's already a very, it's a proven popular product already. So exactly, I feel like that's probably the one thing that I would say that wasn't there, that should have been there. And I think definitely for next year, regardless of which men's teams play, I think you do need to have an NRLW game there to attract that female audience, because it's essentially an untapped market, I feel, for the United States. And it's the best way to gain ground in that nation. So, yeah, but sorry to cut you off.
No, totally agree. And just to finish off, I think I did see Peter Valandis get interviewed by Matty Johns and co on the Matty Johns Show, whatever they call it. He did actually say, let's keep going, and why not? I think he was sort of saying, you know, he pushed Andrew Abdo. He was like his biggest nightmare. He was pushing for things, and Andrew was the one trying to deliver. And he did say, why not a triple header? So I reckon, Tish, I don't know if you were referring to that or maybe you just came to that independently, but I think you're on the money there, because I think Peter Valandis will actually push for a triple header next year, and one of those games will be the women's game. And you're 100% right. You know, what's the best way to build on this year? It is to put a women's game in there as a triple header, all on the one day, a whole day's experience. Unbelievable.
With American and I think players on both teams.
Wouldn't it be great? You know, so look, yeah, there's so much that they could do, but I think that that's a great idea, and I think they will do that. Again, with the view of showcasing the game, showcasing what we can do, but also possibly recruiting some future talent. So that's brilliant. Look, I've probably gone too far, but look, my summary of all this is that there's the more ways that I look at this, you know, even the fact that they're, you know, very explicitly saying we want to get a television deal out of this. We want to get, you know, a few hours of Fox Sports 1 in America to every Saturday night or whatever it is to be NRL. And you know, like, no one has ever been that brazen or explicit about their expansionist aims. And I think what I saw from Peter Valandis and when they were talking to him, you know, while he was there during that game, in between the games, actually, sort of showed, look, they definitely have expansion in mind. We're going to talk about expansion later, but I think, you know, overall, I would say this has been an absolute winner of an experiment. I'll prove it to you in the next item as well, but that's my final thoughts. Tish, shall we move on to tackle three? All right, so tackle number three, I talked about, you know, how can we prove that this has been a winner? Well, one of the ways, the obvious way that we look at is television viewers. And according to the latest stats, and we may even get an update later in the week from the American channels, but in terms of the Australian Fox League TV, pay TV channel, the season opening Seagulls, Rabbitohs and Roosters Broncos matches together were the most watched games on Fox League to date. So already the most record ratings basically for Fox Sports. The South Sydney Manly game pulled in 838,000 viewers on TV screens and on KO as well, which is where I watched it. And then Fox League had 786,000 people tune in to the Roosters and Broncos clash compared to Channel 9, 784,000 viewers. So actually, probably for the first time ever, you had more on pay TV than you had on free-to-air, which is unbelievable. So, look, if you just look at the ratings, we've got all-time record-breaking ratings just for these two games. Yeah, look, there's not much else to say, but, Tish, it is mostly about television and the ability of television broadcasting rights to bring in another source of revenue. So while everyone's talking about, you know, is this going to be a failure? you know, the Americans will never, you know, watch this game. You know, the people like PVL and Andrew Abdo who are getting on with the job and getting stuff done are quietly getting stuff done and showing that, look, you know, okay, maybe this experiment won't really lead to half of the American population caring about rugby league or even knowing that it's rugby league and not rugby. But if it means that we get another 100 million from a TV contract, which we can use for grassroots or we can use to expand into other areas which have more of a presence, how is that a lose-lose situation? It's a win-win for sure. So that's the way I see it. But, look, great ratings to start off, and I'm sure we're going to hear more later in the week, and we'll update you next week if we're hearing anything around American TV ratings, because I'm sensing that we're going to get either a reality check or we're going to get a potential bright spark from which we can build upon. Tish, TV rights, you know, what do you reckon? This is potentially a huge impact for our TV rights negotiations.
Yeah, look, definitely. I think that's it. But remember, I heard PVL, we want people to sign up to the Watch NRL app. We want to get 1% of America eventually on there. That's 3.4 million people. Each subscription is worth $229 Australian dollars a year, right? So that works out to be over $700 million Australian per year from the American market. And their revenues last year were $700 million, right, from the current TV rights deal. So, you know, that might be lofty over the 5-year goals, but, you know, they are going for a really big pie. And I think it's big, but it's achievable, just obviously with the right steps. And I think that's what they're aiming for. I mean, they're not talking about putting in their own, you know, the US NRL or anything like that. They're not talking about any of that. They're just talking about getting it, like, they're selling an entertainment product to the American market. That's what they are doing. And, you know, some of these other things that we're talking about with athletes and stuff, you know, those things are fantastic. But ultimately, why are you doing those things? Is because you want to get viewership there. So I think it's good when you see clarity like that in terms of purpose. That's what's going to be the difference maker. And I think, let's see what the ratings are. If they are bad, they are bad. But I don't think they're going to stop, because I know that they have to build. This is just putting up the framework. You know, next year we want to do just a little bit better. The year before, the year later, we want to do a little bit better. So let's see how they work it all out. And fantastic.
All right. So let's talk about now the NFL having some interest in what's happened. So tackle number four, here we go. All right, so the NFL has shown interest in buying, NFL owner has shown interest in buying an NRL club. The boss of one of America's biggest sporting clubs says he will consider buying a stake in an NRL team. San Francisco 49ers president Al Guido spoke at the NRL's Business and Sport Conference in Las Vegas on Saturday, the day before the historic season opening doubleheader in the famed Sim City. He later gave an interview to Australian media outlets, including the Sydney Morning Herald, where he was asked about potentially buying into the NRL. Guido is also chairman of Elevate Sports Ventures, which last year invested in English football club Leeds United. So, Tish, this begs the question, what NRL team do you think the owner of the 49ers would be interested in? They did say, you know, when they talked about why they're interested in Leeds United, it's about talking about a club that has passionate fans, bit of history, you know, down on their luck and wants to rekindle their kind of former glory. Which NRL club do you think fits the bill, Tish? Can you think of one?
Well, I could actually think of four, but merged into two respectively. St. George, Illawarra, 49er Dragons, maybe, and maybe the West 49er Tigers, right? Other two teams I can think of, both down the lock, both with massive amounts of history. And, you know, but look, I don't know if they need any more drama because they're already bloated at the board level already, right? So, and then you think, like, you know, table at the Sharks, right? Maybe, you know, like, you know, Sharks, 49ers, you know, Candlestick Park, I think, is overseeing an ocean. You know, whereas, you know, Shark Park is overseeing a renovation, right? That's what you see when you look at it, like a big construction thing. So maybe that's where to go. But, yeah, well, there you go. Look, I don't know. He was just making a very he's just making a comment. Like, you know, it's maybe his first exposure to rugby league. And he thinks, another sport to invest into. But, you know, that's part of what we're talking about as this Vegas experiment being a success, getting interest from wealthy Americans and wealthy Americans who love to put their money into sport. I think the more, the better. You know, that's what we need.
Well, Tish, I'm no Sherlock Holmes here, but with a name like Al Guido, I'm guessing he should be interested in possibly an NRL club which has a bit of a, you know, potentially, you know, some fans of the Italian persuasion. In an area where there's an Italian population. So I'm thinking former Balmain, you know, Tigers, West Tigers, definitely have the inner West sewn up. So I'm still thinking, you know, the Tigers may be the right sort of fit for Al Guido. That's just my view. I mean, look, the other way you could look at it is I'm perfectly happy to offer up the Parramatta 49ers. Because, you know, 49ers meaning that's how long it takes you to get from Parramatta to Sydney on the M4. It takes about 49 minutes. But there you go. Look, look, who knows what's going to happen. I wonder whether a Sydney team is going to be what he's interested in. Some people have speculated online that it could actually be Newcastle Knights, could be a team that is, you know, waiting for this kind of influx of money. And stability. We know that we've had the Nathan Tinkler affair in the past and all sorts of things going on. I think West Newcastle now owns, you know, has an ownership of the Newcastle Knights. Whatever the case is, definitely there are opportunities there in some of the clubs that are currently there in Sydney or thereabouts, you know, along the coast of New South Wales. But look, without any further ado, let's talk about, well, we're talking about expansion, so let's talk about that a bit more. Tackle number 5, here we go. All right, now I know we talk about expansion a lot, but this time it's on the back of some interesting points made by and comments made by PVL, Peter Volandis, as part of this Las Vegas tour, and he's talked a lot about PNG, and I thought I'd raise this again because a lot of people are still in denial about the benefits of PNG. You know, there's a lot of geopolitical stuff going on and guarantees between the PNG and the Australian governments for various reasons. I'm not going to get into that. Needless to say, I think PVL, what he said is, for those who are detractors of PNG as an option, they don't know what we know and they haven't seen what we've seen. So I think, to me, that's a sign that the numbers do add up for PVL, otherwise he wouldn't be taking the risk. So I think if PNG is next, you know, who's after that? We're talking 18 teams. Potentially there has been talk about moving to 20 teams within the space of a few years. And you know, PVL himself has speculated. So when the ARL Commission chairman speculates on things like that, you know that it's not, you know, either he's doing it to drum up some publicity, which is possible, but he's also doing it, not doing it sort of, you know, irrationally or without any purpose. So I think potentially there is some more discussion to be had about who will be next. So PNG possibly, what about New Zealand 2, Brisbane 3, the Bears returning, Fiji, we've talked about this, but in the light of what we've seen with Las Vegas, you know, what do you think, Tish, has that changed your mind about where the NRL needs to go next?
Well, look, not really, right, because I've been in favor of PNG. But what I will say is that I double-checked today the Australian business number records of the latest franchise, the Dolphins, and I realized that they are the Dolphins NRL Limited as their entity name. Registered for Queensland 4020. So they're not Redcliffe. They're not Northern Brisbane. They are just the Dolphins, right? So I figured that, you know what, actually, you know, where they're going to play their majority games, it might start off with the PNG, but I think moving forward, the NRL franchises, I think they want a bit of flexibility in it. So I think it probably may start off as a, I think the likelihood is that, hey, let's go and take let's take the Bears. Let's call them the PNG Bears. Let's get them to play in the PNG. We might just call them the Bears who play out of PNG, like the Dolphins are the Dolphins that play out of Redcliffe, right? I think they're going to do something like that, like they've done with the Dolphins, right? Because what PVL is interested in, what he's done is that he's stopped the ridiculous names, right? Because, you know, animal names is what you need for rugby league clubs, right? We all know that. But, you know, you saw with the 95 expansion, you had Warriors, Cowboys, Crushers, Reds. What are they don't mean anything, you know. Storm doesn't really mean anything. Titans, I mean, they've all died out, the Titans, you know. So, you know, let's get back to animal names because we're buying a zoo. We're buying a zoo here, right? And what zoo is there without a dolphin? And now, what's the biggest thing that we're missing? We're missing bears. We're missing bears, we're missing lions, we're missing penguins. And all I am interested in now, Dr. T, when it comes to the expansion debate, is what is going to be the animal that we're going to associate to these franchises? Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. It's all about the mascots, of course, and identity. Oh, I got to take issue with one thing that you said. I think PNG will want to retain PNG in the name. I just think for their identity purposes, I think the reason why no one cares about whether it's North Brisbane Dolphins or whatever is because it's not really like there's an area where people are exceptionally passionately proud about living in Redcliffe. You know, I think there's a difference there. But having said that, you know, whether it's the PNG Bears or the PNG Hunters or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. I think it needs to be something. I think identity is important, and I think, you know, what you're hinting at is identity is related to mascots and animals. Definitely, it's very difficult to go around thinking, I feel like a Storm today. Or, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, the Storm is, to me, the pinnacle of peak stupidity in terms of mascots. It's a weather event, you know? Like, it's not even one, like, there's worse ones than a Storm. It's like there's the Hurricanes and whatever in rugby. You know, what is a Storm? Like, you may as well just call them the Drizzles. It's exactly. Just drizzling today. You know,
And look, this is the power of it. Like, you know, there was a wedding in Vegas at the Graceland Wedding Chapel. Kayleen Cormack, the bride, she was walked down the aisle by Reggie the Rabbit, the South Sydney mascot.
That's it. That's how you know we've succeeded. Reggie the Rabbit has officiated in a Las Vegas shotgun wedding.
Yes. The celebrant was an Elvis impersonator. But, yeah, there you go. Reggie the Rabbit walking down Rabbitoh's fans, right? You know, so.
All right. Look, let me ask you one question, then we'll finish this off. If you were PVL for the day, king for the day, and you were allowed, you were given the edict, you have to select the next three teams to be included in the NRL. Three teams, not just one. So go in order. Either you drop them all at once or you do one next year and two years after that. But in the next 3 to 5 years, we want three more teams to make it 20 teams. Which teams would you choose? Go.
Yep. PNG, Pacifica.
Yep, I'm with you.
Ooh. And Perth.
Wow.
I think that's the order.
There you
How about yourself, Dr. T?
That's a good one. I would say PNG, Perth, and you know what? I like the idea of Pacifica, but I wonder whether we should have a team that is just based in Fiji. Fiji has the best infrastructure and is most likely to, you know, I think having a team there rather than a roaming Pacifica team which doesn't have identity ties to one nation is going to be a bit of a challenge. It's not like the West Indies. I think these islands have their own very unique identity. So I like it, but I wanted to switch it a little bit from what you said and put forward Fiji as a possible alternative.
Yeah. Well, look, all these ideas is going to put a massive strain on the Penrith Junior Football Association to produce all these players.
Well, you know, I guess it'll all be down to West Tigers and Parramatta Eels Juniors to supply all these players and, you know, send them through the Panthers Academy. There you go.
You bring the supplies, we bring the people. That's the idea, that's it.
That's right. And here's my friend, Al Guido from San Francisco. Here we go. Anyway.
He bring the money.
That's right. All right, we're getting crazy. Tackle number 6, tips for the rest of NRL round 1. Here we go. All right, the first two games, we split the tips, so we are at 1 point. For the first part of round one, let's quickly give the tips for the rest of round one, which will happen this weekend. Starting this Thursday, Newcastle Knights at home to the Canberra Raiders. I am tipping the Knights.
Yep. I thought I put my tips in here anyway, but I am going to tip. I'm going to tip the Knights as well.
All right. The Warriors, Friday night, 6 p.m., the Warriors versus the Sharks at Go Media Stadium. Look, I can't go past the Warriors. I think they will, off the back of what they did late last season, they'll continue to set the ground running, hit the ground running, whatever the correct phrase is, Warriors to win this one.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to be good. Yeah, I think the home field advantage and probably the CLA crowd is going to be up the wires, right?
That's right. Storm at home at Amy Park to the Penrith Panthers, defending champions on the Friday night game. The big blockbuster, and I think the Panthers, after what happened in the World Club Challenge, unfortunately losing to Wigan, they will bounce back and really get into it. So Penrith Panthers for mine.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip an upset. The Storm, I just think, I remember the Panthers not starting the best last year, losing the World Cup Challenge, and then I feel like there might be a bit of a repeat happening.
Good call. Eels at home to the Bulldogs, Combank Stadium. This is another one of those wasted opportunities, wasting round one on an Eels-Bulldogs 80s revival match. I don't know why they do that. It is a Saturday 5:30 p.m. game, which is actually a great time for you to head out to Parramatta, the Combank Stadium there. Eels to win, I think.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip the Eels as well. And, yeah, look, I think a fixture that could be part of the debut for next year, Vegas. Let's see.
Oh, absolutely. Would be good. The Titans at home to St. George Illawarra Dragons on Saturday night, 7:35 at Cbus Super Stadium. I think the Titans are on the slide down, unfortunately, this year. I don't see them doing very well. The Dragons, however, you know, potentially with Shane Flanagan at the helm, could cause some ripples in this premiership.
Yeah, look, I believe in Dez, so I'm going to go for the Gold Coast Titans. Doing some great things in the Gold Coast Titans. So normally the players don't get sick of him until the second year. So I think it's still honeymoon period, Dez, at the moment.
Fair enough. All right, Dolphins at home at Suncorp Stadium. Sunday, 4 p.m. match, Dolphins versus the Cowboys. I'm tipping the Dolphins on this one. It's hard to tell with the Cowboys. They were dipping towards the top eight at the end there, but I think the Dolphins started well last year, and I think they'll do the same this year.
Yeah, look, I'm going to tip the Cowboys because Todd Payton changing around the captaincy, you know, angering his players, I think that spells the recipe for a great season for them, right? So, the Cowboys for one.
No worries. And the Tigers have the bye, so they already got 2 points. Well done, Tigers. Well done. Already top of the table.
The best round one they've had in a few years, I think, the West Tigers.
That's right. That's right. Go, Benji. He's got another week to think about things, which is good. All right, look, that's it. That wraps up our Las Vegas review round, really, podcast for this week. Thanks for listening to us. Tish, over to you to wrap things up.
Well, thank you, Dr. T. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. But that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and Dr. T. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.